You know, I ran across this is one of my favorite passages, especially this time of year, out of 1 Corinthians 15. Before I read it, just kind of setting the stage, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, and remember, Paul was a zealous Jew. I mean, he was persecuting the Christians, had them either imprisoned or watched them executed. He was not a good dude until he met Jesus. Jesus changed him. About roughly half of the New Testament, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was written by Paul. Hear these words. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved." Did you know? What's he talking about? The gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He was resurrected on the third day. He sent his Holy Spirit, this gospel. "By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living." When Paul was writing these words, many who actually saw the resurrected Jesus and heard his teachings were still alive, though some had fallen asleep. "Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also." Church, we have good news. Not just today, not just on this Easter Sunday. Did you know that Jesus is still alive tomorrow? Did you know he's still alive next Sunday? I invite you to come back next Sunday. He's still alive. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into this place. Jesus, thank you for enduring the cross for us. We rejoice that the tomb is still empty. We serve a risen and living Savior. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place today? We pray that that name that is above every name would be high and lifted up, not only in our praises, but in our hearts and our minds. Send your Holy Spirit, stir us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. Stand if you can.
good morning. And that is what we celebrate this morning, that there is no grave that can hold Jesus. We celebrate the resurrection. He is risen, church. And with that, we get to celebrate the fact that because he lives, we live too. And so we're thankful for that. And so that's why we ask that you'll just keep singing with us and join with us as we sing Power in the Blood. Children, if you would come forward for children's time.
Good morning. How are y'all today? Good. Good to see y'all today. Hey, Miss Amelia, how are you? All right. Good to see y'all this morning. Are y'all excited to be here?
Yeah.
What is today?
Easter.
Okay. Question. What is Easter? Why are we celebrating Easter today?
Because God rose from the ground.
Jesus, right? Yes. He grows from the tomb. That's right. Are y'all excited about that? That Jesus lives? He is risen today, isn't he? He arose from the dead. And that's why we come to celebrate, because of that great love for us. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, so today is Easter, and we celebrate. Do we just celebrate today that Jesus lives?
No.
No?
Every day.
We celebrate every day. That's right. It's a day of joy. Have y'all had an exciting day?
Yes.
But was that day of joy always a day of joy for Jesus? No, it wasn't, was it? No. So we're going to talk about what happened before we got to the empty tomb. Because lots of things happened, right?
He was scared at first.
You think he was scared? Maybe. But did he go willingly? Did he obey what God had planned? Should we obey what God has planned for us?
Yes,
even when it seems really, really, really hard? Yeah. So, as you can see, we have our Easter basket here this morning.
Easter eggs.
That's right. So we only have four in our basket. And they don't have candy in them. We only have four, and they don't have candy. Yeah, we're going to open it, okay? So I'm going to tell you the Easter story. Each one of these eggs has something to do with the Easter story, okay? All right, so I'm going to open my first egg, and it is a, what do you think might be my? A what?
Banana.
Nope, not a rock.
Banana.
How about a cross? It's not a banana. It is a cross. Did Jesus go to the cross? Did he carry that cross up to that hill? Yes. And he died.
What?
He took our sins and died on the cross.
He took our sins. He paid the price for our sins, right? So what is the word? What is sin? What are sins? What does it mean when we sin? Yes. We do something that's not pleasing to God. Ollie?
We lie.
We lie. We do things that are not, that's not right. Yes.
We be a bully.
Be a bully? Yes, that is it. Yes. So we do those things. But is who forgives us? Does God forgive us?
Yes.
Yes. So Jesus paid the price on that cross for our sins. Because when we do something wrong, do we need to get punished for it?
Yes.
Yes. Are you always obedient to your parents?
No.
Do you get punished sometimes? Yes. But our sins, God forgives us, but we have to talk to him. We have to ask for his forgiveness, right? So Jesus went to the cross and he carried that cross knowing what was going to happen. Isn't that amazing love? Yes. And then our second egg, let me get my, it's pink. Yes. All right. All right. It has, let me put my pink egg back in there. It has, it has, why do I have three nails? Right here. That's right. They put him on a cross, and they put the nails through his hands, and then they put a nail through his feet, and they nailed him to the cross, and they put a crown of thorns on his head, and he died. He came back alive. That's right. Yeah. So can you imagine how Jesus felt for us? Jesus suffered great pain for us, but he did it because he loves us. Isn't that amazing love? Yes. All right.
All right. I am going to continue with our third egg. And our third egg, we have the stone. Why do we think we have a stone? Yes, after. That's right. When Jesus died, he was put into a tomb. And when he was put into a tomb, they took a gigantic stone and put it in front of the tomb to seal Jesus inside, right?
Big stone.
So this stone is meant to remind us that, let me go further in the story. 2 days later, 2 days later, the women went up to the tomb and they saw that the stone had been rolled away.
Oh, wow.
So the stone is to remind us that the stone was rolled away, and even a huge giant stone could not keep Jesus in the grave. And the last egg.
Easter egg.
What's in this one?
Easter egg.
No.
No. It's empty. That's right. The women, after noticing that the stone had been rolled away, they went inside and it was empty. The tomb was empty. Jesus was not there. There was an angel, and the angel told Mary, he is not there. Jesus has risen just as he said he would.
Amen.
Come, look and see where he had laid. And so this empty egg is to remind us that the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. He is alive today.
Amen. So as we learn today, Jesus carried that cross, but the nails couldn't hold him to the cross. He still lives. The stone couldn't keep him in the grave. He still lives today. He arose on that third day, and the tomb was empty, right? So Jesus lives today. Can you say, how old is Jesus? I don't really know. So Jesus lives today.
All right. Today is a day we truly celebrate. It is wonderful. He is risen and he is alive today. Why don't you yell that with me? Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive today. Let's bow our heads. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. We rejoice that nothing, absolutely nothing, could keep Jesus in the grave. He is risen and he lives today. Amen.
Well, these kids are having church down here. Y'all hear? Y'all get that? Jeff, how old is Jesus, by the way? You're our pastor. You should know things like that. Okay, next week, come back next week. Jeff's going to preach. Tell us how old Jesus is. Well, welcome. He is risen. Amen. He is alive. Scripture says that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, always living to make intercession for us. It doesn't say that he was laying at the right hand of the Father. He was seated there, and dead people just don't sit up. I'm just saying. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That's good news this morning or any morning. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service through the app if you have it on your smartphone. These Easter lilies are really pretty, really fragrant. And if you purchased one of these for a loved one, God bless you for honoring that particular individual. If you want to take one home with you, please feel free to do that. A couple of announcements. Our Threads of Heart Ministry, which is all things fabric ministry, is meeting next Sunday at 1:30 on the second floor. There'll be more info about that this week. Our annual youth fundraiser is the 30th, Wednesday after next. And it's an event that we raise funds to send the youth to camps and mission trips. Last year we did a cake and pie auction, which was a great success. There's a free meal that's offered with this event. So bring your appetite and your checkbook and let's support the youth and their endeavors this summer. Senior Sunday is May the 4th. We'll be honoring our graduating high school seniors, and there are some names in the bulletin of seniors we know of. So if there's a name that's not in there, would you please let the church office know? We don't want to leave anybody out as far as honoring them. And then if you're new to our fellowship, we have a discovery class on the 18th of May, which you can meet with our pastor and learn more about our church. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. some great truths of Scripture that unite our hearts. You know, we don't do this perfectly as a church, but we are committed to prayer. Prayer requests that are in your bulletin, we have a group of about 60 people that pray for those as they come into our church. We distribute those by email. Also, we have a prayer calendar in which one church family is being prayed for every day. We do that alphabetically, so we go from A to Z, and when we get to Z, we start over with A. We've been doing that for a number of years. We have somebody this morning that is either in the sanctuary praying for this service or they're in the prayer room, excuse me, praying for the service. Also, we have prayer focuses 3 days of the month. We pray for our city on the 10th of the month. We pray for the persecuted church on the 30th, and then we pray for pregnancy resources on the 20th, which is today, and I would like our prayer focus to be praying for this ministry. We love this ministry. We love the people that are involved there. We support them financially. They do incredible work trying to help young unwed mothers navigate the complexities of pregnancies, and they help moms with newborns, give them some tips, some counseling. Also, they hand out supplies for newborns. Just a great ministry. And so I would like to pray through the prayer points that their prayer director has asked churches to pray through, and I want to encourage you to join me and pray with me for this ministry. Father, I thank you for pregnancy resources. I thank you for the work that they do, and Lord, I just thank you. They're a champion for life, and no telling how many people, how many lives they've impacted through the years. And God, I just pray that they never grow weary in doing good. Such a great work. Father, I lift up the board of directors and executive staff. I pray for wisdom for them as they make decisions about the ministry and to efficiently lead the agency with excellence. Lord, I pray for the staff. I pray that they're able to complete their task with unconditional love. Father, I pray for the clients. I pray for the women and families that they experience the love and grace of Jesus in their everyday lives. Lord, I lift up the volunteers. I thank you for them. I pray that they're blessed for the time they selflessly share the work they do. And I pray that you bless their commitment to serve. And God, I pray for the future of pregnancy resources. I pray, God, that you increase the ministry and the impact of that ministry. Lord, I ask for material resources for pregnancy resources. God, I ask that you provide supernaturally diapers and wipes and additional baby items for the clients, for formula and whatever that child might need. And God, I pray for the online presence of pregnancy resources. Father, I just pray that as people search, do a Google search for pregnancy help or whatever, I just pray that you supernaturally elevate their website to the top of the search list. God, do it for your glory. God, I pray that the pregnancy tests, the ultrasounds, and the counseling would directly influence decisions to choose life. God, I thank you for the donors who financially support the ministry. God, I just pray that you open up hearts, soften hearts about continuing to support pregnancy resources. God, I pray that you expand the awareness of the ministry, their services, to allow more people to contact them in our community and beyond. And Lord, I pray for the clients who have experienced miscarriage or infant loss. And Father, I pray for the women, men, and families who have been affected by abortion. And Lord, there may be some in those two categories here, and I just pray for an incredible healing for hearts, incredible healing, God, for minds. And Lord, you're such a gracious, loving, and kind God. And there may be some this morning to know that it's your kindness that draws us to you. It's not your anger. It's not you being demanding. It's your kindness that leads us to you, draws us to you. So I pray for your kindness to wash over us this morning. Thank you, Father, for what Jesus did on the cross for us. God, we praise you that the tomb is empty. Nothing could hold Jesus in the grave. And we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you there will be several available for prayer after the service. If you need prayer, I encourage you to take advantage of that. Our giving options are on the screen. You can give through the app. You can text to give. The offering boxes are by the doors as you exit today. Also want to remind you that we're in the middle of we've just started a capital fund drive for church expansion, and we've had a precious family that has decided to match our donations dollar for dollar up to $500,000 this year. So let's allow the Lord to touch our hearts about that, and we'll give him the glory for what he does. Let's continue to worship together.
Mountain of drink from all his mercy.
Good morning again, church. Happy Easter. For those of you worshiping online, happy Easter to you as well. Did you hear, I don't know if you could hear the children this morning when Carlene was saying that Jesus was nailed to a cross. One of them said, yeah, but he didn't stay there. Did y'all pick up on that? Man, somebody's been teaching their children. It's awesome. Glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. If you're our guest, we're especially glad you're here. Thanks for spending your Easter worshiping with us. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that has a blue stripe, and it says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but I'd love to meet you. You can bring that card with you. I'll be at this end of the foyer with a free gift for our guests. We'd love to meet you. Turn with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I also want to mention at the end of the service, Brindley and Rayleigh, is anything happening at the end of the service? What's happening? You're getting baptized. Oh, sweet. Yes. So stay around to celebrate with the Brazelton family. Matthew 28. So I want to say, the Gospels have different accounts of the way the Gospel writers put the resurrection into words. It reminded me, and there's subtle little differences. It reminded me last Wednesday night. I had already, after our ministry, I had already gone home, but I was just a few blocks away, and I heard a crash. And it turns out that there was a wreck. Someone had flipped out here over the guardrail and flipped upside down in the creek, and they're okay. And I talked to several people that saw that and experienced that, and each had a little bit different explanation of what happened, how it happened, and so forth. But here's the thing that I pretty well came out of those conversations knowing: there was a wreck. And so as we look at the gospel accounts of the resurrection, don't get hung up on the details. I'm gonna read Matthew 28's account, but also I'm gonna refer back to John chapter 20 a couple of times, and there's subtle differences there. But the thing that's consistent in the gospels is the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. All right, Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. I love it. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified." I don't know if you know this, but when people were crucified, they were dead. Jesus, you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of them into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Who do you worship? You worship God. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee where they will see me." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And we trust that you are here. Holy Spirit, would you speak? Would you speak in power and authority, transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, started a sermon series, which I'll conclude next week. The sermon series was Greater Love, Greater Love. And the first week, I talked about this greater love, this love that is sacrificial, intentional, and transformational. Last week, we talked about this love that saves, and we are desperately in people in need of salvation. And today's message is love that conquers death. Love that conquers death. So I'm going to dive right in. Some things, you know, Easter, I was telling somebody earlier that it's really hard to mess up an Easter message if you just tell the gospel, if you just tell the gospel of someone that of the empty tomb. So I'm referring to John chapter 20, which another account of this Easter morning. So setting the stage, Good Friday has happened. Jesus has been crucified. He's been taken down off the cross. He's been placed in this tomb, and he's been in the tomb 3 days. And the women go to anoint his body. Now, I can imagine that the mood was quite somber. This was before the resurrection. In fact, John chapter 20, verse 1 says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb." While it was still dark, not just physically dark, but spiritually dark. There was just an oppression on, I believe, on all of the people, the followers of Christ, because they had heard his words, but all they knew was this man we thought was a savior is dead. Well, Mary had watched him suffer. She'd seen him die, and now she simply wanted to honor him in his burial. She wanted to anoint his body. She came expecting only sorrow, but instead she discovered an empty grave. Can you imagine that moment? That moment of, oh my gosh, maybe he did it. Maybe he did it. Then the angel encountered her. We know that she encountered this empty grave, sin and death, at that moment was defeated. Death no longer has the final word. Jesus is alive, and I talked about this earlier. Not only is Jesus alive today as we celebrate on Easter, but he's alive tomorrow, the next week, the next week, the next week. Anything that we go through, Jesus is alive. All of us who believe, new life is now possible. And I'm not talking about just eternal life someday. I'm talking about life right now. Eternal life begins today. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. The empty tomb, church, if we really believe, do you really believe that happened? It doesn't happen every day where someone is dead and in 3 days, next thing you know, they're walking around. If we really believe that Easter happened, the empty tomb changes everything. It should change everything for us. Second point I want us to look at today. This greater love, this love of Christ, this is the love that knows you by name. It is a personal love. Jesus didn't just die for the whole world. He died for you. It's John chapter 20, "Woman," Jesus said, speaking to Mary, "woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary?" Can you imagine that moment when Jesus changed everything in her life with her name? She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Mary was lost in sorrow. She didn't immediately recognize Jesus until he spoke her name. Did you know, I was telling the early service that I spent almost, I guess, every Sunday until I was 30 or so years old in church, and I got it. But I didn't get it. I didn't understand that Jesus knows my name. Jesus took the nails on the cross with my name in his mind, with your name in his mind. No matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you, no matter whether you, even, it's interesting, even, did you know Jesus died for those that would never accept him, that would reject him, maybe even hate him? Jesus died for them all. Jesus knows your name. He cares for you. Isaiah 49 says it this way. God says, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. I just want you to picture your name engraved on the palms of Jesus' hands as they're being nailed to the cross. I've engraved you on the palms of my hand. Jesus, man, if you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, it's man, I tell you, in the church, we can make the mistake of thinking that, and even preaching, that the Christian journey is this moral life. That, you know, you just need to do this and don't do this, and that's what it's about. No, Jesus knows your name. He loves you. Jesus said, as he was launching his ministry, he'd come to heal the brokenhearted and set the prisoners free. If you're brokenhearted, you're a good candidate. He came for you. And probably one of my favorite quotes from Christ, found in Matthew 11:28, Jesus, again, you can picture these nail-scarred hands stretched out. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Jesus knows your name. It's this love that knows you by name. Whatever you may have drug in here today, there may be all sorts of situations. Billy prayed for the pregnancy resources. I preached a few years ago, and there was a couple. This has been many years ago, so they've moved away. They came to me later that week. I didn't even really preach on this. They came to me, and they had been in college together, and he had gotten her pregnant, and he had pressured her into having an abortion. And they went on, after that, they went on and kept dating, and they ended up marrying, and they had like three or four beautiful children. And they'd been carrying the weight and the shame of that decision for 10 years. And they came to my office, and the first thing I told them was this: you're in luck, because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He loves you. His grace is sufficient for you. And you could, when they left, we talked more, we prayed together. You could see the enemy wants to heap shame and guilt on us for things that we've done, maybe even things done to us. He wants to heap the shame and the guilt on us. Jesus came to set us free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He knows you by name. He wants you to come to him if you're weary, if you're burdened. He wants to give you rest. That's the Jesus I know. That's the Jesus I want you to know. Third thing, if we believe in the empty tomb, and if we know that Jesus died for us, if he knows us by name, then the next thing is that same love, it's a love that sends us out. It's not a love, it's not the resurrection. I'll say it this way: the resurrection is not just something to be believed. It's something to be shared. Is this on? Is it on, Billy? Can you hear me out there? This empty tomb, this Easter, is not something to just be believed, but something to be shared. The very first thing that the angel told the women, he's not here. I know the last time you saw him, he was dead. But remember what he said? He's not here. He's risen just as he said. Remember? Then the very next thing the angel says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. So immediately after experiencing the resurrected Christ, the very next thing is, now go tell people about that. Even Jesus told the women, go and tell my disciples that I've risen. This love, it's not just for us to consume, but it's to be shared. And I said, I know this is going to come across maybe a little harsh, but I said it to the early service. I'm going to say it again. If we hold that to ourselves, it's the most selfish thing we can do. Because we have a hurting world. We have a lost and hurting world. They're all around us, hurting people all around us that need what you and I have, this message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is alive. Now go and tell. That's what Jesus is saying to us. And then finally, the fourth thing, this greater love, this is a love that changes us, transforms us. So as we're telling people about the gospel, our lives should demonstrate it. Our lives should demonstrate it. The apostles, that first Easter morning, if think about it, setting the stage, we know that Judas betrayed him, but Peter denied that he even knew him. And all the other disciples except John scattered. And I can just see them in the bushes, kind of seeing what's going on, but hiding. They don't want to be associated. They don't want to go to the cross. And John, Scripture tells us, John was the only disciple that remained faithful and was at the foot of the cross as Jesus was suffering. These same disciples, according to his early historical documents, all went to their death at proclaiming the gospel. Now, if they knew that was alive, in fact, the Sanhedrin was trying to convince, it's like, hey, we're going to, and they said it, Scripture tells us that it persisted for probably even to this day. Tell everyone that his disciples came and stole his body when they had the empty tomb. They tried everything in the world. They had guards guarding. They sealed the tomb, had the stone, all that stuff. And when it was empty that Easter morning, it's like, just tell everybody that the disciples came and stole his body. Well, if they knew that it was a scam, if they knew that Jesus, if they went and took a dead body and hid it, you'd think that they'd just go their own way. But instead, early historical documents tell us that all the apostles, except for John, died proclaiming the gospel to horrible deaths. I'm going to list them. You may have heard these before, but Matthew was killed by the sword. This passage that we read today from Matthew. Mark was dragged to death by horses. All of these proclaiming the good news of Jesus risen. Luke was hanged on an olive tree. Simon Peter was crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as Christ. James, son of Alphaeus, after surviving being thrown over a 100-foot cliff, was beaten to death with a club. James, son of Zebedee, was beheaded. Bartholomew was whipped to death. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. He continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he died. Thomas was stabbed with a spear. Jude was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. Barnabas was stoned to death. Matthias, who was chosen to replace Judas, was stoned and then beheaded. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was tortured and then beheaded. John faced persecution in prison, but he died as an old man, the only apostle to die peacefully. Friends in Christ, something transformed these men. Something transformed these men. Willing to die these horrible deaths. What could it be? Maybe Jesus really is alive. Easter, church, changes things. As we partake of this meal today, Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, and this was, remember, Pentecost, but Passover, Passover had been celebrated by the Jews for centuries, and they were to remember their escape from bondage in Egypt. And you've heard me say they would take a pure, innocent male lamb without blemish, and they would sacrifice this lamb, and they would take the blood of the lamb as a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the people. And so they celebrated this Passover meal every year for centuries. And remember what John the Baptist said about Jesus when he saw him walking by the river? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus that night, he knew that he was the new Passover lamb, and he changed the script that night. He took the bread, and can you just imagine as he was breaking the bread, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." You know he was thinking, my real body is going to be broken tomorrow. And then he took the cup and he blessed it, and he said, "Now this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood poured out for you and for many." And I think we get this wrong sometimes. I think we, in the church, we can tend to think, well, you're supposed to do it this way and that way, and you're supposed to do it this often and a certain way is wrong and so forth. All Jesus said was to do it in remembering. When we come to this table, it's a costly table. It's a costly meal that we partake of. And the invitation is from Christ. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and you repented of your sin, you're welcome to this table. It's not my table. It's not our church's table. It's the Lord's table. He's the one. It's the sacrifice that we remember for our sake. If you'll just bow your heads in your own heart, say your own personal prayer of repentance before a holy and loving God. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen. So we come not just to remember his sacrificial death, but we also come to remember that death had no hold on him, that the tomb is empty, he is alive. If those who are serving would come forward now. So Christ our Lord invites you to his table These two stations over on this side and these two stations on this side, you'll be given a piece of bread, dip it into the cup and partake in that way. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center aisle, go ahead and receive your elements and return to your seat to partake there. I would serve, take the bread first, it'll work better for you, and then your empty can be discarded as you leave the church. Jesus' great love invites you, come.
I know there is peace within your presence.
may be seated. Miss Brindley, you're first, right?
Yes, sir.
Come on out, girl. Watch your step. Well, yeah, slippery. Okay, just if you'll stand with me right there for just a second. Come on in here, Dad. All right, family, y'all come on up. We've got a camera. Y'all just come right in front. They can see. You're not going to be blocking anybody. Only I'm not really digging the camera being up above my head. You can figure out why later. Is everybody up here? It's coming. Y'all don't have to kneel down. Y'all come right in here because there's a camera they can see. Y'all come on up. Scrunch in there like you love her. There we go. Mom, get up there. Okay, Brindley. We talked some about this. We talked about this word sin, how we're all sinners, and you. Do you admit and confess that you're a sinner?
Yes, sir.
You want Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yes, sir.
You want to receive him as your Lord and your Savior in your heart?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. You want to be baptized?
Yes, sir.
Is that what we've been going for here? Okay. You'll sit down right there. Dad's going to help us here. Brindley, hold your nose there, girl. Brindley, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hey, stay right there. How's that water feel? Good? All right. If y'all can scrunch in here and if you can't reach her, then reach the person in front of you. One of the things we talked about, Brindley, was how God sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of you when you accept him. So we're going to pray that, okay? And Lord, I just thank you for Brindley. God, an appropriate thing to happen on Easter Sunday, God. The tomb is empty. You are alive and you live in Brindley's heart, God. Would you send your Holy Spirit? Would you ooze Jesus out of her, God, and equip her to be a powerful instrument in your hand, God. Bless her. Bless her family. We love you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One more. We got one more, Brent. All right, you better don't grab my hand where you don't slip.
I already slipped.
Well, I like that smile. That is a good smile, girl. So, Rayleigh, you've heard me talking to Brindley. We've talked before as well about that word sin, that we are all sinners. And do you admit that you are a sinner? You want Jesus to forgive you of your sin and him to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart? Amen. And you want to be baptized? Okay. Feel sad and hold your nose. All right. Pray they baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Stay sitting right there. I don't think I've ever gotten a wee. That's good. I'm just glad you didn't do a cannonball in here. Dad, we'd have been in trouble. All right. If y'all can put a hand on her. Lord, we just, again, we celebrate that Rayleigh loves you, that you love her, that you died for her, God, and you live in her heart. God, thank you. I just pray that you would just put your Holy Spirit in her, as I said before, Lord, that she would ooze Jesus everywhere she goes. Raise her up, God, to be a mighty warrior for you. Bless this family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Church. God bless you, brothers. Church, he is not here. Well, he is here, actually. If you'll rise for this benediction, how about I start over? I was quoting scripture, but it doesn't apply this morning in that part. He is here. He has risen. He lives. That's good news. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.